scripture reading will come from the book of John, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. If you have your Bibles and like to read along, turn to John, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Give Dale and Norris a workout today reading. What do you believe? Got to thinking about this afternoon. I had a sermon and I brought it with me because I didn't know if Dale got my text today, so I was prepared to do one or the other depending on whichever scripture he read. But what do you believe? Think about this. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 1 if you haven't already. John chapter 1. Let's look at this for just a minute. When we think about our life and we think about God and we think about Jesus, it's so incredible as we think about Jesus always being. He's always been. You know, it's so easy for us as humans to think about everything having a beginning and having an end because we think of Jesus, or a lot of people think of Jesus, that when he was born, that's when his beginning was. But when we think about this text that we're looking at tonight, Jesus was part of creation. Then you look down at verse 4, in him was life. Now that's great for us to think about as people. In him was life. We have our life through Jesus. And you go on down, especially and you look at verses 11 and 12. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. You know, believers have the right to become children of God. Everybody that ever hears the gospel, everybody that ever reads the Bible, anybody who ever builds that faith, and that's what we talk about. We talk about the plan of salvation. We have it on the back of our bulletin that we have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Everybody that ever comes in contact with the gospel to the point that their faith gets to the point that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they have an opportunity to become a child of God. But you know, unfortunately, a lot of people will not. Many people, when they believe or they get to that point, something always stands between them and obedience. Something stands between them and a commitment, a desire maybe in themselves that I am going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to dedicate my life, and I'm going to go another direction every day that I live. Where do all of our blessings come from? Through Jesus. All of our blessings on this earth are from heaven. When we think about how we're blessed day in and day out, and so many times we have opportunities to be negative, we have opportunities to look at how bad we have it, and we are a people that have a tendency probably to dwell on the bad things instead of the good things. But just for a minute tonight, think about all the good things in your life. Day in and day out, the blessings that you have. I don't know what everybody did today. I know what some of you done today. You told me when you got here tonight. I know what I did today. I went home and I worked on sermon tonight, and I made a few phone calls, sent a couple emails. I went in, ate a little lunch, and I sat back in my chair, and 2 hours later I woke up, and then the heat of the night was on, and I watched Chief Gillespie for a few minutes, and he actually used a scripture that was in my sermon tonight. I thought it was fascinating when he went up to the state pen and they were executing someone. The guy was trying to think of a scripture that he had heard at his mother's funeral, and Chief Gillespie said this. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Sometimes believers, however, reject this right that we're talking about becoming children of God. In John 12, 42 and 43 says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Listen to this, verse 43. "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Wonder how many people believe in Jesus, but scared to show it. Scared to show it to the point that, Norris, you sit there when we're singing a song and you lift your head up and you sing out. Not caring what you sound like, but singing praises to God. Love lifted me. My hope is built on nothing less. Can you imagine having that feeling inside your heart? And I'm guilty of this because I know what I sound like. I don't really know what I sound like right now because I can't hear. But I know what I sound like, and I fall into this category that I'm talking about tonight. Sometimes I'm just a little bit of ashamed to sing out, and it's bad. But can you imagine having that love inside yourself that you sit there when it's time to sing and you lift your head up, just proud? And saying, "I love Jesus." And we're singing praises to God. And not worrying about what everyone else around us may be thinking. Dale, they may do this. How me and you talk about our singing. But how many people carry it further than just singing? That we're ashamed to really admit and show how much we believe and love Jesus in our day-to-day lives. Acts 26, verses 27 and 28, O King Agrippa there, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know, it takes more than just believing. We've got to start with believing, but it takes more because even Agrippa did. But sometimes people do, however, exercise this right that they have and they become children of God. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." You know, that's what we like to hear. That's what we like to talk about. Dorian, I don't know how many of y'all get emails from Dorian over in Africa, but they are doing great work over there. Every month, I guess it is, I get a newsletter from them, and one of the first things I do when I get it is I open it and I scan down to look at baptisms. Try to look how many people have obeyed the gospel, and it just makes you feel good. It makes you feel good when someone finally accepts the word of God and they're obedient to it. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So the first thing tonight I wanted us to think about was this. We have a right to become children of God. Some people reject it, and some people accept it. But what about after that? What do we do after we accept, after we believe, and after we're obedient? Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." He says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So what do we do after that? Keith told me, I think, if I remember correctly, before church started tonight, we continue to believe. You know, think back, and I say this often, I do it. Think back of the day that you obeyed the gospel. You think back of the day if you were in a congregation, in an auditorium, when you finally made that decision. You said, "Today's the day I'm going to be baptized for the remission of my sins." And you stepped out of that aisle and you walked forward. You met with a preacher or whoever it may be, and they went and carried you back and they immersed you for the remission of your sins. You remember that feeling? You remember how it changed your life? What did you do from there? You know, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But you know, folks, we can't be that way. We can't be just like we were when we obeyed the gospel. We need to be growing. We need to be maturing in the faith. There's some things, I think, and I think there's five I want to mention tonight as we think about things that follow baptism that we all need to be concentrating on. Number one, we need to understand that we've been raised to walk in newness of life. There's a different life that we're going to live. There's a different way that we're going to walk. In Romans 6 and verse 4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So after we believe and after we're obedient, we're going to continue to believe, but we're going to walk a new life. Second thing, we are to seek things which are above. Thursday, we were off Friday. Thursday, before we got off work, we were all in a truck coming back from Whiteville, and I remember asking everybody in the truck, "What are you going to do this weekend? What's your plans for this weekend?" And we went around the truck, everybody talking about what they were going to do, and they asked me what I was going to do. I said, "Nothing, I hope. Absolutely nothing." And I ended up doing something. I dug three post holes and liked to kill me. What's your plans? What is it that we plan to do while on this earth? Are we seeking to do things above, or are we seeking to hold on to things that's on this earth? Listen to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. "I, ye, then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The fear, I think, that we ought to have is always concentrating on worldly things, and not on heavenly things and godly things. Third thing we need to understand that follows baptism is we have to desire to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it talks about desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow. Unfortunately, there are people that are still drinking milk today that might have obeyed the gospel many years ago, and the only thing that stands between them and eating meat is studying the Word of God. Opening your Bibles, reading it, studying it, and applying those things to your life. And then fourthly, the Hebrew Christians had not profited from the Word, and you can read that in Hebrews chapter 5. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll look at verses 12 through 14. When you think about our life, and I think about my life, have I profited any from the Word of God? Starting in verse 12. "For when in the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and or become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those by reasons of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Think about how much stronger I could be if I knew more of the Word of God. How much a difference I could make in other people's lives if I could sit and teach and talk to someone about the gospel. And then fifth and finally, the Christian life is one of continuing to grow. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, take up your cross daily and follow me. I asked Wendy a question when I come out of the office. I found this little article when I was out. I come in and I asked her, I said, when is a thief not a thief? When is a thief not a thief? Wendy answered the question. She didn't answer it right, but she answered it. She didn't answer it right according to what I was looking for. She said when they stop stealing, they give back everything they had stolen, and I don't know, maybe said they sorry. I don't know what all she answered, but she turned me off when she didn't get the right answer. Let me ask you, don't answer it out loud. When is a thief not a thief? We like to say when someone stops stealing. This article that I read, and that's probably right, but the article that I read said this, the answer is one, when one becomes something else. When is a thief not a thief? When he becomes something else. The article went on to talk, when is a sinner not a sinner? Is it when he quits sinning? Or is it when he becomes something else? That something else is a Christian. None of us sitting in here is perfect. Absolutely not. We have to go on unto perfection, and how we do that is through Christ. When does a sinner become not a sinner? When you become a Christian. And then the blood of Jesus washes away those sins. When you continue to walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, and that blood continues to reach down and cleanse us each and every day of our life. This afternoon, if you're not a Christian, our prayer is that you will decide today, not only that you believe, but that you're willing to change, you're willing to make a difference in your life and change your life through repentance, confession, and baptism, and become a child of God tonight. If you're here and you've been unfaithful and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, come, while together we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will,